Good morning.
And
welcome to our United service this morning. Special welcome to all our friends from the URC and to Kirsty. There won't be any children here today because we're having an exciting light party this afternoon, so they will be doing their own thing this afternoon. Welcome also to anybody who's listening to the service later. There will be coffee served after the service, and then there will be a lunch of homemade soup. So you're very welcome to join us to that. We hope you will and enjoy continuing fellowship after the service. We don't have any extra notices, which makes a change. So I'd like to welcome Katie and Kirsty, who will be leading our service after the intro from the choir.
Morning. We join together in some words from Jeremiah that will be on the screen. Sing aloud with gladness.
God is gathering his people.
From the furthest parts of the earth we come.
All who struggle, all who labor with new life.
Those who are weeping, God will console.
Those who get lost will find a clear path home.
Let us worship the God who gathers us.
Amen.
Ever-calling God, we give thanks that you have gathered us into your church and graced us with your faithful presence. We ponder our history, ancient and still developing, and marvel at the many expressions of your church. Grant us a vision to be part of a new reformation for the church that will bring ever more joy and justice to the world. Continue to gather us in all our diversity into Jesus' vision and dream that your faithful people may be one in you. Accept the praise of our tongues this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
Thank you.
We bring to God our prayer of praise and then a prayer of confession. Let us pray. Bless the Lord. Let praise flow through every moment of life. Eternity is held within the Lord. Let songs of praise fill the universe, and selfless actions echo throughout time. The name of the Lord is above all others. Hallowed be that name. Exalted be the Lord our God. Look to God and you will be answered. Place your life in God. Have faith and rejoice. Reach out and peace will surround you. Do not fear. The Lord is good. We bring our prayer of confession. And you'll see the words on the screen with the responses in bold yellow type. When we want to be a church ever reforming, yet cling to comfortable ways, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. When we want to honour your still speaking voice, but are fearful of insights which challenge old assumptions, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. When we want to live into Jesus' dream of oneness, but fail to listen to voices of difference, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And hear our words of pardon. Take heart. Get up. Jesus is calling to us. We trust in the one who has guided the church for 2 millennia. Through Christ, God forgives us our failings and continues to call us into a community of mutual love and forgiveness. We celebrate the mercy of God and the peace that comes from Jesus alone. Amen. Now, Katie and I are going to have a conversation updating us all on where we're up to. It just so happens the second lapel mic is out of action at the moment. So it doesn't mean that because I'm standing here, I'm somehow saying anything more authoritative than what Katie's saying. So Katie's going to start off with sharing us with us some sort of headline news from the life of Wilmslow Methodist Church at the moment.
Well, one of the things that we've been doing is exploring mindfulness and Christian spirituality. So we've been I think it's the courses 3 and 4 that we're running on that. And we've started Mindful Church. So Mindful Church is a new service on a third Sunday evening of the month as an opportunity really just to be in stillness and to spend time in God's presence in a different way using contemplative prayer. So that's one of the new things that we've been doing. We've also been continuing our relationship with Cheadle Mosque and working with the other churches that I'm responsible for in Stile in Hanforth. We met at St. Mary's in Hanforth and had a really interesting evening talking about how our faith helps us in times of difficulty. So we're continuing that sort of relationship with one another. We're looking forward to December to a crib festival, and I'm inviting all the churches in Wilmslow to work with us. So instead of a Christmas tree festival and having the church full of trees, we're going to have it full of crib scenes. So if you have any nativity crib scenes, particularly interesting ones from around the world, that you're happy to let us borrow for the week of December, please let us No, we've already got some school classes booked in to come and visit the nativity scenes from around the world, and it will also be open to the public to come and reflect. There will be prayers and reflections accompanying the figures from around the world. And I guess final bit of news. Very pleased. This is sort of probably news for the congregation. It's been to our leadership team and church council and circuit leadership team. Just to let you know that Chris Goddard, who completed her degree in theology, she studied alongside John Grundy, is going to be working with us for 3 days a week. I think we're calling it community support worker, church support worker. We're not quite there on the name yet, but Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays you will see Chris around at church, and she's already working with us on those courses, so it's a joy for us that Chris has made that commitment to serve us here in this way.
Oh, well, that's great news, and we're sure that from what we know of Chris, she's going to be a great blessing to the life of the church and the community, so that's really an interesting thing to develop new ministries. You mentioned John Grundy. I gather that Chris just told us earlier on that he'd sent his greetings to everybody. She'd been in touch with him. And it's good to know that he's continuing to enjoy his ministry in London. He did say to me that although it was absolutely as hot as anywhere I've ever been on the day of his induction, it's quite cold in that building normally. So you can be relieved that the fact that he won't be dripping with sweat every time he's there. Right, well, a few headlines from us, and I'm having a panic here. How old is Messy Church? Is it 4 years or 5 years? 5 years old. Right, I thought it was, yes. Well, we had a celebration just last couple of weeks ago for our fifth birthday as Messy Church. And one of the things that I thought was most special that afternoon was that quite unprompted, a couple of the children baked things and brought them for the sharing of the cakes. On their own initiative, completely. One of them came with decorated biscuits and another one came with special lemon drizzle cake. I don't think I got a slice of it, but that was just lovely. And in both cases, parents, grandparents said to me that was their idea. They wanted to bring the cakes. So I thought that was lovely. Undercroft Cafe is continuing to develop slowly. So if you happen to be around our part of the world between 10 and 12 on a Monday or a Wednesday morning, and you fancy a nice cup of coffee somewhere warm and somewhere that you might see some friends and have a chat, please come in and join us. We're sort of growing that ministry organically at the moment. We haven't made a big song and dance about it, but the A-boards outside are bringing people in. And I think it's a really interesting opportunity we have because of being so near those two big health centres, Wilmslow Health Centre and Kenmore. So many people are around our part of the world in the daytime, especially in the mornings.
It's just a beautiful space.
It is a lovely space.
If you haven't been yet, do go.
If you haven't been to see the Undercroft yet, be prepared to be amazed and think, is this the place that we never used to come into because it was dark and damp? Yes, it is. Wilmslow Youth is about to hopefully make a journey into becoming a freestanding charity called Source, S-O-U-R-C-E, not S-A-U-C-E. And it's really in the last stages of the discussions internally for the two churches who've given it birth so far, ourselves and Life Church. So please pray for us, think of us next Sunday morning, because we're going to be having a special act of worship and church meeting to really go into depth about where we think the proposals are right, any questions, any remaining questions we may have, and really to give our blessing to things. Of course, the reality is that the group that's got its things this far could go ahead without us saying yes. But if they did that, they would be risking themselves in terms of perhaps not having the funding support in the future. And we all of us want to feel that we're comfortable about how the proposals are going to work. And just another couple of quickies, which is to say on November 11th this year, for Remembrance Sunday, we're going to use some of our church archive. We're lucky enough to have the newsletters from 100 years ago, which covered the life of Wilmslow Congregational Church and Morley Green Chapel as well. So we're going to be in worship, hearing some of the voices of the people who were part of the life of the church 100 years ago, where we worship now, as a way of touching that history and trying to understand what it might have felt like for them on November the 11th, 1918. And one final thing, we may not look this old, but we're 175 years old next year. So we haven't yet decided how we're going to honour our story, but you may well find that at some point in the next few months you get invited to something or hear about some events that mark that stage in our journey and our life as a worshipping congregation. Okay, is that one back in action?
No.
All right, we'll share.
We will have chance to continue to share what we're doing over lunch. So we do hope that you will be able to stop for lunch or at least stop for a coffee and continue to build the relationship that we share with one another. We're going to sing again now. All I once held dear, knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. Last Sunday, I was invited to take a World Church service in Cheadle-Hulme and invited to share about the work of the church in Chile at this time. One of the interesting things in Chile is a change, even in just the last 3 years. In the last 3 years, they've received 80,000 people from Haiti, as well as numerous people from Colombia, and more recently, a flood of people from Venezuela, seeking relief from poverty, from violence, from difficult circumstances. And the Methodist Church has been working particularly hard to support the Haitian population, who it's easier for those from Colombia and Venezuela because culture is very similar, language is very similar. But the people coming from Haiti, it's a very different culture and a different language. And so the church there has been doing its best to support the sojourner, support the people referred to in the Old Testament who, for whatever reason, have had to leave their homeland. Working with Spanish classes and preparing people for the workplace and even just opening up church kitchens to be used where 20 people are living in two rooms with no kitchen. You know, they are just the churches opening their doors to help. And perhaps Chileans, in part in their doing that, know what it's like to have their loved ones in exile. During the 70s and 80s, large numbers of Chileans had to flee and were in exile. They knew what it was like either to be abroad themselves in a strange land or to have loved ones in a strange land. And the people of Israel knew exactly what that meant. Their ancestors had been in exile in Egypt. But more at the time in which Jeremiah is writing, and we're going to hear shortly a passage from Jeremiah, those of the northern kingdom had been attacked by the Assyrians and communities utterly dispersed and divided and conquered and sent to many places. And others had then, following, been exiled, captured and taken to Babylon. In the passage that we're going to hear, written by Jeremiah, he is not in exile, writing instead from Judah, but perhaps writing to three groups of people. Writing to those in Judah and Israel whose family members had been taken by the Assyrians or whose family members were in exile in Babylon. Writing also to the exiles themselves and to those scattered around the corners of the earth, lost in both place and time. to eat, Jeremiah echoes the promise that God would bring them home. Not just that he would bring home the strongest and the fittest, but the most vulnerable and the weakest too. The blind, the lame, those expecting children, those with small children. There is a reminder that each of them lost in exile are of equal value to any firstborn child, all children of God. There is a promise that they will be led by water, providing a source of life and refreshment, and they will be directed on straight paths and will not fail or fall. Do we choose to be guided by his paths, to walk with the renewing waters of his Holy Spirit? The prophet hears and recognizes people's pain in their woundedness and desolation and seeks to respond. Are we prepared to see and hear the pain? In these words that we'll hear from Jeremiah, it's talking about the weak and the lame of Israel. Later, Jesus goes on to re-echo that promise, but for the most vulnerable throughout the world. So we hear those words from Jeremiah 31.
None of us in the group with him, women or men, ever knew what to expect and what was going to happen each day at any point, because that's what being on the road with Jesus was always like. One shock after another, another day, another challenge to all our expectations and assumptions. Of course, he would say things to the male disciples on their own, which the rest of us didn't hear. But we could see their faces and read their body language. And that final visit to Jericho, well, it felt different to all of us. There was a heaviness in the air, a sense of foreboding, a feeling of risk and danger. We'd been in the area for some time, because Jesus and our whole group of followers have moved down south. We walked down the Jordan Valley away from his usual stamping ground in Galilee. And he'd been teaching and preaching on the other side of the river. But on that morning in Jericho, we knew he was about to head southwest for Jerusalem. And it wasn't going to be an easy walk over the mountains. And none of us knew what to expect when we arrived. I was wrapped up in my own thoughts walking along the road when the blind man first came into my consciousness. It wasn't as though you could miss him. Talk about those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Bartimaeus was shouting his head off. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Well, I admired his guts. After all, being sat on the ground behind a solid row of legs, the people in the crowd in front of him, isn't the best way to get the teacher's attention. But he had come up with a great phrase to attract Jesus. Son of David. New leader of our people in the line of the great king of old, in other words. It wasn't the safest thing to be shouting at the top of your voice in the middle of a country occupied by Roman troops. But it worked. Jesus heard him and he stopped dead. So all the rest of us ground to a halt too. This man was persistent. I could see that at once. He got his message through despite the folk in front of him, and they'd been trying to shut him up. And now everyone was looking at him. He must have sensed that sudden attention on him. I think I wondered at the time, how long is it since a large number of people have paid this man any attention at all. So the people switched in seconds from having been total human barrier to urging him on, helping him up, wanting to bring him to Jesus. Well, I don't suppose that Jesus missed that either. He never failed to notice the two-faced way so many people behave. Incredibly, though, he still seemed to love the good in all of us and somehow trust that by God's grace we could change, despite our faults and failings being so obvious. So Bartimaeus was up off his cloak, his home on the side of the street, in a flash, and he was standing in front of the master. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. I'll never forget those words. Who else but Jesus would say something like that to a person with no sight? You might think, if you'd never met him, that Jesus was being unkind or ignorant asking a question like that, but that would be a serious misunderstanding of him. It's the sort of thing he asked us all at different moments on our journey with him, when we needed him most. Usually, though, it wasn't in the middle of a busy street with lots and lots of people listening. But Bartimaeus wasn't fazed by any of this. He knew what he wanted. He asked Jesus for his sight back. So he must have seen at some point in his life, I thought to myself. It wasn't that he'd always been confined to the side of the street, begging desperately from the passers-by all day to get the money to keep body and soul together. Jesus just looked at him with an expression of real compassion on his face and said very simply, "Go, your faith has made you well." There it was again. That word we've been hearing for several years every time something like this happened and someone came to him in deep distress. Faith. I'd always thought before I met Jesus and started travelling with a group of women who accompanied him that faith was what the people who went to synagogue every Sabbath had. In that case, I knew I'd lost mine, because for years I hadn't felt comfortable during the service, so I'd stopped going. I didn't feel worthy of God's love. My life was in too much of a mess. I had too many guilty secrets to believe that God could ever be bothered with me again. Jesus had changed all that for me, which was why, like so many others, I felt the call to travel around with him. Well, somebody needed to find the beds. Every time we turned up in a town or village, somebody had to go round the doors begging for flour and vegetables and oil to make supper. We women were used to asking for help, and we did it willingly because it meant we could keep on hearing what Jesus was saying, keep on seeing what he was doing, keep on being in the same space as him, breathing the same air, holding on to the life we knew God was giving us through him. It was only much later, after everything that happened in Jerusalem when we got there from Jericho, that I started to realise all the other times when I'd heard Jesus perform a healing and talk about faith. There was that healing right at the beginning, before I joined the group, when some friends apparently let their paralysed mate down through the roof on a stretcher so Jesus would heal him. And Jesus had told the disciples later on that it was the faith of those guys, their determination to get his attention for their friend, that moved him most to respond. And then there was that occasion that I remembered so well on the streets in Capernaum. I'd been there and seen that woman come up and touch the hem of his garment, the moment when she was cured of that persistent bleeding. And he called her daughter, which was such a lovely thing to say to her. And he said, your faith has made you well. Had it? Could it? Well, it certainly looked as though something remarkable had changed within her in those few dramatic moments on the main street in Capernaum. And what about that healing behind closed doors, which happened up north in Tyre, when a foreign woman came and asked Jesus to heal her sick daughter? What faith she had to speak to a foreigner, a man, a teacher from another faith, someone who could easily have thrown her out the door rather than help her. But Jesus had seen the truth in her, the love and the risk. He restored her daughter to health without even seeing the girl or touching her. Just a word. That was all it took. And a universe full of love and mercy to go with it, of course. I wondered that day in Jericho whether Bartimaeus knew anything about all these people and the others who've been healed in the past few years. Surely he must have heard something about them, or he wouldn't have known how important it was to get Jesus to give him attention that day. What I wasn't expecting, I don't think any of us were, was that Bartimaeus would choose to come along with us. He didn't even bother to go back and pick up his cloak and the day's takings. He just started to walk with us. Well, totter might be a better description. He hadn't been on his feet for years. I remember how thin and weedy his legs were. He wasn't fit for walking, but there was no stopping him. Jesus had dismissed him by saying, go, your faith has made you well. But unlike that woman in Capernaum who went back to find her family straight away, she hadn't seen for years, Bartimaeus kept on hanging on with Jesus. It was just as well for him that we women took him under our wing. We knew he was another of Jesus's outcasts, his specials, we used to call them. Just like we were. He'd been poked fun at, abused, forgotten, kicked, shouted at for years. Nobody had noticed him until Jesus came along. And it wasn't just that we'd all been put right, helped to get our lives back, loved into wholeness. We also got the message from Jesus that God has an enormous amount of extra love for everyone who is overlooked. Jesus wasn't just quoting the prophets. He was putting their sayings into action every day. It was supporting one another that gave us the strength to stay with Jesus once the first few exciting days in Jerusalem turned into a dark and terrifying nightmare. When Jesus has given you your sight back, you can't choose to look away when bad things start happening to him. I remember Bartimaeus saying that to us when Jesus was arrested and put on trial. We women knew that was true of us as well. We stayed right to the end and watched from a distance even as they crucified him. And we kept being together even after he'd been buried too and the grave was found empty. That was months ago. Now we know that even though he died, he's still with us. His spirit is here, keeping us strong, helping us to live in the way he showed us. It's as though he's the one who's choosing to walk with us now, not the other way around. And he's still in our hearts and minds, making us all think about our faith, what it means to trust God, how to help the outcasts and the rejects and the lonely forgotten ones, just like he always did. Bartimaeus walks well now, and he's always talking about Jesus. He isn't scared who he talks to or how many times he gets rejected by people who won't listen. There's no stopping him now.
Imagine how Bartimaeus must have felt, such overwhelming grace with the healing that he experienced. Perhaps you can bring to mind a time when you too have been touched by God's grace and been overwhelmed by his love. We're going to remain seated as we hear the words of the hymn, Amazing Grace. You might want to sing along from memory or just listen to the words. Or you might want to use that time to hear Jesus saying to you, what is it that you want me to do for you? God, we thank you for your healing grace at work in our lives, setting us free from guilt and pain. We thank you that you ask what we would like you to do for us and that you hear our prayer. Meet us in our need this day, we pray. Enfold us in your healing love. And accept our heartfelt thanksgiving for the grace that sets us free to truly see and know you. Amen. Before we continue in our prayers of intercession, just two bits of news, one particularly for the church family here, just to let people know that Kate Bryant had a fall on holiday and is having a hip replacement tomorrow in Cambridge. So I assured Kate through messages via her daughter and husband of our prayers at this time, hoping that she will be back with us up here in next week. And also to let both congregations know that John Bourne is very seriously ill in hospital, fighting pneumonia at this time. I know he's very loved by both congregations. So I just invite you to keep John and Pat and the family in your prayers at this time. Let us pray. Loving God, give us the eyes of faith that we may dare to see the world as it is, that we may dare to see one another's needs, that we may dare to see with Christ's eyes and follow him along his way. We pray that we may not be blind or shut our eyes to the suffering of the world, to injustice and oppression, to hunger and homelessness, to violence and torture. We pray for all victims of violence, by state, in war, in relationships. And we particularly remember those whose lives have been taken and been affected by acts of terror, particularly thinking of those members of the synagogue in Pittsburgh. We pray that we might have eyes to see and know how we can reach out in peace. Son of David, Jesus, have pity on us. Open our eyes so that we may follow you. We pray that we may not be blind or shut our eyes to the needs of our neighbours, to those suffering loneliness and anxiety, illness and depression, to those experiencing bereavement and loss. In a moment's silence, we hold before God all those who we know to be unwell or in need at this time, remembering in particular in this time John and Kate. Lord, we offer you the names of all those on our hearts, that your healing hand may be upon them, that they might know your love and comfort sustaining them at this time. Son of David, Jesus, have pity on us. Open our eyes so that we may serve you. We pray that we may not be blind or shut our eyes to visions of you, to the majesty of your holiness, to the glory of your salvation, to the beauty of your love. We pray in faith through Jesus Christ who heals. Amen. And we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our offering will be received as we sing our final hymn. Lord, you call us to your service. Seeing life from your perspective makes challenge plain. Teach us how by your compassion you may fashion hope again. Send us your directing spirit. Pour your power through. To God with heartfelt gratitude, commitment, and praise. Renew our lives, O God, and let these gifts change the world into which we send them. Take and multiply them to be a blessing of justice and peace in the world you love. Amen.
And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be ours this day and every day. Amen.